مدهو ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله صدق الله العظيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا وحبيب ربنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم My dear sisters of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised those people who obey Allah the benefits and the complete attachment of paradise. Inshallah, those people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as per His command and instructions, and also believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the last messenger and the chosen messenger, and also obey their commands, will obtain Jannah. We hear this quite a lot. We hear that if you do this, you will obtain paradise. If you do this, you will obtain paradise. The final reward will be the reward after the Day of Judgment. You have heard about the difficulties of the Day of Judgment, and also the difficulties after passing away. In other words, after death. Inshallah, today we will talk about something different. We will talk about the love that a Muslim should have for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and why. First of all, let me tell you a little bit about Jannah. Jannah is a very big and beautiful place, and it has been made for the Muslims, those people who obey the messengers of Allah, and inshallah they will obtain paradise. Jannah walls are made of gold bricks, and the floor has beautiful soft saffron. The cement is made of musk, and also there are pearls and diamonds on the walls. Every person will gain a mansion in Jannah, the mansion which will be nothing like the best mansion of all in this world. And also, Jannah has very different grades. Even the lowest grade of all will be a grade where people will believe they have been given everything. They will ask for something. Before they even open their lips, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill their desires. If they want to go and meet someone, they do not have to travel in trains or airplanes or anything like that, as we do today. They will just close their eyes and they will be in front of that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them all sorts of benefits. It has been stated in the hadith that when a person eats the fruit of Jannah, every time they eat a fruit, its taste will be different. And it will be better than the time before. When you eat a fruit, it will be nothing like the best and the sweetest fruit that you have ate here. But the same fruit, you will pick it up and eat it, and the taste will be totally different. The water will be so sweet, so beautiful, and so cool, that once drank, you will never be thirsty again. And there will be various different rewards. There will be thousands and thousands of servants looking after the Muslims, etc. But the biggest reward of all will be that a Muslim will see with their own eyes the dignity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala themselves. Therefore, you think to yourself about some of the difficulties here. It has been stated in the hadith that a person will say on the Day of Judgment, Ya Allah, I wish I was cut into pieces by scissors. I wish I was burned alive. I wish I was ripped apart, for I have now seen the benefits of Jannah, and I think to myself that if I had suffered that little bit, I would have gained so much here. The doors of Jannah have been stated that when a fast horse runs from one side to the other, it will take the fast horse 70 years to reach the other side. And the beautiful smell of Jannah will be reached before a 500 years distance. You are near 500 years to a Jannah, and you will be able to smell the beauty of Jannah. However, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam once came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, today I have flown past Jannah, and today I have also gone past Jahannam. And I think to myself that going past Jannah has given me, I looked at Jannah and I thought to myself, what a beautiful place. However, when I saw the difficulties surrounding Jannat, I thought to myself that no person will ever be able to go past them difficulties, actually obtain Jannat. And he then says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I also went and saw Jahannam. And I saw all the desires and the luxuries that surround Jahannam. And I thought to myself, people will be attracted so much to them desires that they will easily go into Jahannam. And then he started crying. He said that I am scared after seeing Jahannam that maybe Allah will test me like he tested others. And I am afraid that I might have to suffer the slightest punishment of Jahannam. Upon seeing the cry of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also started to cry. Suddenly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O my beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you have nothing to fear, for you will not go into Jahannam. However, I asked the question, why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam cry? Do you know, he cried because of his ummah. He cried because he felt the pain that his ummah will have to feel, his followers will have to feel if they do not obey him. So, to gain the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will gain Jannat. To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will gain Jannat. To please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will obtain the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and therefore paradise. That is why, everywhere you go, we are instructed, you must listen to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the only destination is the destination of Jahannam. I am not going to talk about detail about Jahannam today. I will leave that topic as a special topic on its own. However, you hear, please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we ask the question, how can one please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If a person obeys the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do they please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If a person worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do they please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If a person goes through the Holy Quran and reads the Holy Quran, then do they please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The answer is yes, they do please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, there is a restriction. The restriction is stated in the Holy Quran. Qul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allahu fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah. O beloved Prophet, you tell the people, O beloved Prophet, command the people that if they want the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they must listen to you. They must listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They must follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They must have love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, if a person does not have love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as they are instructed to do so, then that person will not gain the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person will not gain the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why it has been quoted in Nuzhatul Majalis, an eminent book written by a profound scholar of Islam. It has been stated that Hazrat Musa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, I am your Kaleem. Ya Allah, I have been given the title of Kaleem. And Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been given the title of Habib. What is the difference between Kaleem and Habib? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies, Kaleem is he who wants the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Habib is he whom Allah wants the desire of. Whom Allah wants the desire of. Kaleem is a person who wants to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my Habib is that person whom Allah wants to please. Allah wants to please the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Kaleem is the person who took difficulty, who climbed the mountain of Tur to gain the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet he could not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just the slightest pinpoint was thrown onto a tree and he had to turn his face away. And yet my Habib is the person who was sleeping, and I sent Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam down, and he kissed his beloved feet, and I took my Habib and I brought him close to me. I brought him close to me. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he says that, O beloved, you do not even have to move your lips. O beloved Prophet, just look towards the sky and I will please you. O beloved Prophet, just look towards the sky and I will fulfill your desires. And that is why, my dear sisters of Islam, we say about the night of Miraj, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam goes with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam onto the heavens, and this happened in a split second. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped time, and the bed was still rocking, and everything was still moving, and yet the bed was still warm, and yet Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went from Masjid al-Haram up to Masjid al-Aqsa, and then when he went to Masjid al-Aqsa, he went above all the heavens, and he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted his clothes, his Habib clothes, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that I was so close to him as Kaaba Kausain. Kaaba Kausain is the bow and the string. If you can imagine, the bent part of the bow and the string, the distance between the two is the distance that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And yet when he was going, he asked after Sidratul Muntaha, he said to Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, "Oh Jibreel, please come with me, continue to come with me." Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam stopped at that point, and he says that, "I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I was to move the slightest hair from this point, I would be burned alive. I would be burned alive." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam turns around to Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam and he says, "Oh Jibreel, what is your desire? What do you wish? What do you want?" Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam then asks the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says, "Oh beloved Prophet, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that on the day of judgment, when people are going towards Jahannam, when people are going towards Jannah, and the difficult journey of walking through the pul sirat, the difficult journey of going across that bridge which is thinner than the hair, sharper than the sword, and underneath it is Jahannam, and people will be falling, my dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that I will spread my wings across the pul sirat, and I ask that the ummati, the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, walk across my wings into Jannah. The followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do not walk on the thin hair of pul sirat, they will walk across my wings into Jannah." Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam asked this dua of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that dua was accepted. Do you know, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam asks the dua of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says to Hazrat Ashish alayhi salam, his son, Hazrat Ashish alayhi salam, he says, "Oh my dear son, when I was in Jannah, before I was evicted from Jannah, I saw leaves, and every leaf had Muhammadur Rasulullah. Everything I walked past had the words Muhammadur Rasulullah. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. As I was walking past, I saw this, then I am absolutely sure that this is Habibullah. This is the person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves most of all. And it is because of the name of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After 300 years, I repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Oh Adam, I have remained quiet for 300 years. I did not accept your dua. However, oh Adam, the reason why I am accepting your dua today is because you have asked for the intercession. You have asked for the wasila of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is because I am asking, and this dua that I am accepting." That is why, my dear sisters of Islam, the words of Muhammad Rasulullah. Do you know, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was in a position, he was walking past, and he saw a cave, and in the cave there was a large stone. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam looks towards the cave, and he sees this person praying. This person is praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is a very old and pious person. He is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam asks, "Ya Allah, I wonder how long this person has been in this cave." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam down. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam says, "Ya Ruhullah, O Spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this person has been in that cave for 400 years worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 400 years. Allah provides him with food, and Allah provides him with water, and he continues to worship. However, there will be a time, there will be one night during the ummatis of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is known as the night of Shab-e Barat, the 15th of Shaban. When a person prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that one night they will gain the same reward as this person who has been praying for 400 years." My dear sisters of Islam, he was then told that when that person prays that night, I will accept his dua. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam prayed that night. He prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Ya Allah, I pray, I do not want anything, for I have been sent as a messenger of Allah. I have been sent as a prophet of Allah. And yet, the only thing that I ask for is that I am sent down back onto earth when the time comes and I will go as an ummati of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I pray that I will go as a follower of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear sisters of Islam, I ask the question, you were born into the family of the follower of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You are automatically an ummati of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If a person has accepted Islam today, then that person gains a status, such a high status, that the previous prophets used to pray for this status. The previous prophets used to ask for this status, and yet we do not care about this position. Let me tell you, I always give this example, and that is, if you have a small child and you give that small child a 20 pound note, what will that child do with it? What will that child do with the 20 pound note? The child will get hold of it, it will throw it in the fire, it will rip it up. As soon as the child gets hold of the 20 pound note, the mother quickly gets hold of it, quickly puts it in her pocket or in a purse. Or if the father is nearby, he will probably get there first. However, that is the reason for that. The value of the 20 pound note will still remain the same value when it is in the hand of the child. However, the child does not understand that value. And that is why the mother takes that 20 pound note off him or off her. And then, when that child goes older, the same child asks from the mother, "Oh mother, please give me 20 pounds, I need it to go and buy such and such a thing." The same 20 pound note that they used to throw away. The mother does not say, "My child, I used to give it when you were a kid, why did you throw it away?" Because the mother understands that the child had no sense at that time, did not understand the value of the money. And yet, we are in the same position. Why? Because we don't understand the value of being a follower of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't understand that. And that is why today we see our sisters walking in the street, not even concerned about the salat, not even concerned about the commands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember, if you want to obtain paradise, then you have to please the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is regarding the pleasing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I will today give you some of the examples of the Sahaba e Kiram, the beloved companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did they not have a life? Was their life not worthy? Were they not happy by having a beautiful house? Were they not happy for traveling in beautiful conveyances at the time, although cars were not there? But they wanted beautiful horses. However, when the time came, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a black slave from Ethiopia, accepted Islam. And Umayyah bin Khalf, who was his master, used to tease him so much that he used to put a rope around his neck, take him to the mountains, and instruct the children to drag him from that rope. When he used to take that rope off, all his neck was completely red with the line of the rope. And yet, they used to say to him, "Denounce Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, insult the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." The only word that used to come out of Sayyidina Bilal's mouth was "Ahad, Ahad." Only one Allah, only one Allah. My beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught me, only one Allah, only one Allah. All this punishment, he used to be thrown into the hot sand, the desert hot sand, which you cannot even stand there for a second. He used to be lying on his back. A large rock boulder was put on his chest, and the severe pain make him used to go unconscious. And yet, when he was dragged on this sand, he was then tied to the back of a horse, and that horse used to be dragged. And yet Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, "Ahad, Ahad, only one Allah, only one Allah. I believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And this is what he has taught me. My dear sisters of Islam, Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who does not know him? Maybe you don't today, but if you look towards in the books, you will find he was the people at the early stage who accepted Islam. When he used to pray, his children came to him and they said, "Oh Yasir, whose name are you reciting? Who do you keep on remembering?" He said, "My dear children, that I am reciting the name of the blessed Muhammadur Rasulullah, who is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." The children said, "Oh my father, if it is he who pleases you, then that is the name that we will recite as well. That is the name that we will continue." Yet he instructed his children. Hazrat Yasir said, Don't proclaim his name openly, for the kuffar will tease you, they will beat you." The children said, "Do we have fear of the kuffar when we should be fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" They open the door and they openly say that we believe in Muhammadur Rasulullah. We believe in Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The kuffar gathered around. They started to beat him. They started to hit the children. They started to hit the father. They started to hit his beloved wife. And all the family were persecuted. All the family were beaten. And yet they did not give up the name of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did not give that up. Why? Because they knew that if we please the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the same family that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was walking past, and he looked towards the back of the door, and he saw the beloved Hazrat Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha was being hit between the legs by a sword by Abu Jahl, the enemy of Islam. And yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned around. He looked at Hazrat Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he says, "Patience, patience, for Allah, for Jannat is waiting for you. For Jannat, paradise is waiting for you, Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anhu." My dear sisters of Islam, Jannat is waiting for the ummati of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and yet the ummati has forgotten about Jannat. The ummati wants the pleasures of this world. They want to displease Allah and His beloved Prophet, and they want to please this world. How do I say that? It is because when the time comes that you have to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and people may laugh at you, then you and I today look towards the people and we think to ourselves, they will laugh at me. How can I follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And yet those who have true love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not those people who just claim that they have love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not those people who just say that we are Sunnis, not those people who just say that we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and yet the basic fundamentals of Islam have been forgotten by them people. But those people who understand about the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they turn around and they say, "You may laugh if you want to, you may take jokes of me if you want to, but I am pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I am pleasing the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For it will be the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment who will be crying so that you can smile on the day of judgment. He will be running around, he will be going from one side, he will be running to mizan, and he will be trying to make sure that your rewards outweigh your sins." And yet the same Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the pul sirat, he will be there, he will be lifting people out of Jahannam, he will be lifting people from falling. The same Prophet will be so concerned about his ummatis, and yet the same ummati today have forgotten about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let me tell you, the sahaba ikram, never mind the basic sharia law, but even when it came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and pleasing the beloved Prophet, they forgot about everything. One ansari, one person who resides in Medina, is called an ansari. And the Ansari, a Sahabi Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it is regarding the Ansar that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that if the Ansar are on one side and the whole world are on the other side, I will take the side of the Ansar. I will take the side of the Ansar because they supported the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And yet once the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was walking past and he saw a beautiful house with a dome on it. He looked at this house and he was displeased. He went into the Masjid Nabawi Sharif. And then the owner of that house came within the companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the owner performed salam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not reply to his salam. The sahabi went to the other side and performed salam again. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not reply. He went to the third side, he performed salam again. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not reply. After the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked up and went away, this Ansar Sahabi asked the other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asked them that, "Have I done something to displease the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? For I would do anything, but I would never ever displease the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anything to please the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." The other Sahabas gave their opinion. They say that the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam may have turned his face away today is because he went past the house that you have built, and it may upset him that people are looking towards the worldly pleasure. The Ansar Sahabi went back to that house, whom he had spent wealth on, whom he had spent effort on. Do you not think the Sahabi had a house? Do you not think the Sahabi had a family? Do you not think he wanted to please his family? But to please the Prophet was his top priority. He went back to the house, he got hold of an axe, and he demolished the whole house down. And then he did not even say anything to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And yet the beloved Prophet walked past the same place a while later. He inquires with his companions. He says that, "Wasn't there a building there that I saw before?" The companions reply, "Oh beloved Prophet, yes, there was. But the Sahabi felt that you were upset by looking at that building. He therefore has destroyed the building." He destroyed the building. The Prophet ﷺ smiles and he says that I do not want my companions to fall into the worldly love. Spend their fortune on buildings. And yet Islam Sharia law does not say that you cannot build a house. Islam Sharia law does not say that. Do you not know that Hazrat Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, during the battle of Uhud, at the mountain of Uhud, where the Prophet ﷺ was fighting for Islam, fighting for this very religion that you and I have forgotten today. Fighting for this very religion. Sahaba sacrificing their life for this very religion, which we do not have even consideration for its commandments. Never mind fighting for that religion. You do not even fight for the desires today. And yet the Prophet ﷺ was on a horse, and a kafir, an infidel, attacks the Prophet ﷺ. And he has head studs on his helmet, the infidel, and they go deep into the cheek of the Prophet ﷺ, who falls onto the ground. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu straight away goes to the rescue of the Prophet ﷺ, and with his bare teeth, he takes the studs out. The first stud, he grasps with his teeth and he pulls out. While he is pulling the stud out, his own teeth break, but he does not let go of that stud. And then secondly, he goes for the second stud and he pulls the second stud out. At this point, blood starts to pour. The beloved blood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam starts to pour from his beloved cheek. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu straight away goes and drinks the blood. He gets hold of the blood in his mouth and he drinks it. He does not spit it out. The other companions inquire, "Oh Abu Ubaidah, what are you doing? What are you doing here? For blood is haram. You cannot drink blood." However, as soon as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regained consciousness, he inquires, "What happened to my blood?" Hazrat Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, "O beloved Prophet, I drank your blood." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies, "Whoever has my blood in their stomach, the fire of Jahannam will never touch them. The fire of hell will never touch them." Now tell me, the Sharia law says that blood is haram. And yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blood is pure, it's pure, you can drink it. The Sahabi had that love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is regarding the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they wanted to sacrifice everything. Many a time the Sahaba kiram used to come up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they used to say, "I sacrificed my whole family, I sacrificed my parents for you, O beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just give us the command." And it was the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the Ghazwa Tabuk. Ghazwa means where a battle was taken place and the Prophet himself took part in it. In Bukhari Sharif, it has been quoted that approximately 19 battles were Ghazwas. And there are other narrations which say approximately 28, 29. However, it is the narration of Bukhari that most of the ulama are united upon. And in the Ghazwa Tabuk, which was thousands of kilometers away from Medina to Munawwara, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that we need as much, as many, as goods as possible today. Hazrat Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave hundreds and hundreds of camels for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The camel was a very, very precious item. It is today. During that time it is even more precious. And yet the Prophet just said one instruction. He says, we need as many goods as possible. Hazrat Uthman Ghani gave as many camels as he could. And yet, it was one Sahabi Rasul that I would like to gain your attention for. And this very Sahabi, whom you have heard the name many a time, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It was that day when Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to himself, "Today I will beat Abu Bakr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's beloved messenger has asked for as much sacrifice as possible. And today I will give 50% of my belongings in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, we are not asking for any money of you, my dear sisters. We are asking just for 1.5 hours of your time." And people find that difficult. May Allah bless you, for you could not find that difficult and you gave your time. And yet today, there are many sisters who will be sat at home in front of the television, watching TV. And yet the zikr of Allah and His beloved messenger is gathered here today in Noor Hall. And yet, they are away from the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the people who are unfortunate, not you. Alhamdulillah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's beloved companion Hazrat Umar, whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Ya Umar, if there was a prophet to come after me, then O Umar, you would have been the prophet." you would have gained prophethood. However, la nabiyya wala ba'di, there is no prophet after me. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala brings 50% of his belongings to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet asks him the question, "O Umar, what have you left for your wife and children?" He replies, "I have left half for my wife and children and my family, and half I have sacrificed for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Then Hazrat Abu Bakr comes, bringing absolutely everything from his own house, himself wearing a cloak made out of tatters. The cloak that we see where the sack is made out of today, where onions are put in India. That cloak, Hazrat Abu Bakr had nothing on except for a cloak. And he even took the buttons of that cloak and he gave it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the buttons, the cloak was held by some thorns. Now think about it, my dear sisters of Islam. Today you are asked to give some, a little bit of your wealth, a little bit of your time, a little bit to donate for Islam. And yet, we have second thoughts. A person knocks on our door and says, "I have come to build the Masjid of Allah, I have come to Masjid-e-Nur." We think it is £5. Another person rings the next door and he says, "I have come to build the Auburn Mosque in Bolton." You think, "Well, he came yesterday, I'll give him £2. And then another person comes the day after and he says, "I have come, we are resurrecting or we are building a mosque in Blackburn." You'll give him £1, and the fourth day you probably look through the window and you think, "I'm not in." Why? This is the desire of a person. I am not talking about any individual here. Everybody fits into that category today, in this today. However, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, did he not want the pleasures of life? Did he not have a life? Was he not breathing? Did he not eat food? Did he not have a desire? Did he not have children? Did he not have a wife? He had everything, but one thing he did have, and that was the true love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which no one can have an example of. Hazrat Abu Bakr comes with this cloak tied with thorns. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks him the same question. He says, "Ya Abu Bakr, what have you left in your household today?" The same question he asked Hazrat Umar. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala replies, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have left Allah and His beloved Prophet in my house today. I have left nothing else, for everything that I have belongs to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything that I own belongs to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at this point looks towards the heavens. He smiles. He says, "Ya Abu Bakr, do you know today all the angels are dressed in the same clothing as Abu Bakr is dressed today, for Allah is pleased with the way Abu Bakr has given for the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has instructed all his angels to wear the same cloak tied with thorns today." My dear sisters of Islam, this is some of the sacrifice at one order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not repeat instructions. And that is why it is stated in the Quran, "Qul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni." If you want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you must please the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is regarding the pleasing of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one sahabi Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam came. He had a gold ring on him. I see many brothers today wearing gold rings. You try and tell him, he turns his face away. You try and tell him that, "My dear brother, don't wear the gold ring, for that displeases Allah and His beloved messenger." He gives an answer which you can't even repeat sometimes. And yet one sahabi Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes with a gold ring. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Oh my sahaba, I see the metal of Jahannam around your finger. For this metal is only allowed for women. For men it will be a metal of Jahannam, not for women." The sahabi Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes off the gold ring. We have pleasure and we appreciate gold. Do you not think the time when the Sahaba Kiram used to split one date up into 6 pieces and that is all they had to eat for the whole day would not have been pleased with gold? The Sahabi takes the gold ring off and he throws it away into the mud. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiles, walks up and goes away. The other companions then ask him the question. They say to him, "Why did you not take the gold ring off and save it for your wife? For it is halal for women to wear it. Why did you throw it away?" The Sahaba replies, the Sahabi Rasul replies, How can I wear something which the Prophet ﷺ is displeased with? I do not want anything to do with that gold. I do not want my wife to wear that gold. I do not want my children to wear that gold. I do not want anything, any association with that gold. For it might be that gold which will take me into Jahannam on the Day of Judgment. My dear sisters of Islam, the sacrifice to Sahaba Ikram, the love. And let me talk to you about the love. Hazrat Khuzaimah radiallahu ta'ala anhu has a special status in Islam, which no other Sahabi has. Why? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam once purchased a horse from a Jewish person. He purchased the horse and the transaction took place. And the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, I will come later to pick this horse up. When he went back, he said, no one came here. You have not brought my horse. You have not purchased it. So, if you have purchased the horse, then bring a witness here. Who is your witness? The Messenger of Allah knew that there was no one present at the time when he purchased this horse. Yet Hazrat Khuzaimah radiallahu ta'ala was walking past. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what seems to be the problem here? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ya Khuzaimah, I purchased this horse, the transaction was done, and yet this person is now saying that the transaction wasn't done and bring a witness. Hazrat Khuzaimah radiallahu ta'ala replies, I am your witness. I bear witness that you purchased this horse. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him with amazement. And he says to him, Ya Khuzaimah, you weren't here present at the time. Hazrat Khuzaimah says, I bear witness, I swear that I saw you and I know that you purchased this horse. The Jewish person had no alternative but to give the horse to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the beloved Prophet inquires, he says, Ya Khuzaimah, you know that you weren't present at the time. You didn't see me buy this horse. Hazrat Khuzaimah replies, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have I seen Jannat? Have I seen Jahannam? Have I seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have I seen the angels? When I believe in you about Jannat, when I believe in you in Jahannam, when I believe in you in about Allah, when I believe in you about the angels, then can I not believe that you have purchased this horse from this person? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that the love of Hazrat Khuzaimah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was being fulfilled. His heart was full with the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Ya Khuzaimah, let me tell you, from this day onward, as the Quran says, a person must bring two witnesses. I say that you, your witness is in the same level as two witnesses. If an action takes place and there are not two witnesses present, then no one will believe that action. If Abu Bakr Siddiq is present and yet he will always tell the truth, and yet a person is not present, then Sharia law will say that Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq will have to bring another witness. However, O Khuzaimah, if you are present, then you do not need to bring any other person. Because your witnessing is in the same level as two people in Islam. Why? Because of the love that Hazrat Khuzaimah radiallahu ta'ala anhu showed that day when the Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam purchased that horse. My dear sisters of Islam, 1 minute, I will ask the question here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Quran says that you must bring two witnesses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of all, says that you must bring two witnesses. And yet, Allah's beloved messenger says, Ya Khuzaimah, you are witness and your witness will be accepted. He's going against the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in the same Quran, it also says, Atiyu Allah wa atiyu Rasul. Obey Allah, obey His messenger. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهُ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Then listen, if you want to please Allah, then you must please the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's order overrules the Holy Quran. In the same way, let me tell you, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, so much love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, when Hazrat Ali went and asked for the hand of marriage of Hazrat Fatima to Zahra, the beloved daughter, the queen of the women in Jannah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Ya Ali, I accept. However, you cannot marry another woman whilst you are in the nikah of Hazrat Fatima. That is my order. Ya Ali, you cannot marry another woman. If you want to marry another woman, then you must divorce Hazrat Fatima. Or after Hazrat Fatima passes away. Now I ask you the question. Could Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu not got hold of the Quran and says, O beloved Prophet of Allah, it is you that gave us this Quran, wasn't it? It is you that gave us the command of the Holy Quran, wasn't it? Wasn't it you that said that this is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For we want to know. It was you. And it, in the Quran, it says that a man is allowed to marry 4 women on one time. In the Quran it says that. O beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why are you saying that I cannot marry? However, Hazrat Ali did not say that. Hazrat Ali knew that although this is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the quote of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you please the Prophet, then you will please Allah. If you go against the Prophet, then you will go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if it is written in the Holy Quran, the commands of the Prophet overrule the Holy Quran. My dear sisters of Islam, Hazrat Ali accepted straight away. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also instructed Hazrat Ali to do another thing. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Hazrat Ali, Ya Ali, you will bathe Hazrat Fatima when she passes away. You will bathe her. Now the Sharia law says that once a wife of a husband dies, the nikah is broken at that very point. A man, the husband, is straight away a ghair mahram for that woman. That husband, as soon as she passes away, the body is present, that husband cannot touch that woman anymore. He cannot even look at her properly. He can lift the janazah, he can take her, he can be in the janazah, but she is a ghair mahram. So he cannot give her a bath. And yet, the Prophet ﷺ instructed Hazrat Ali to give a bath for Hazrat Fatima Zahra. Hazrat Ali could have asked two questions here. The first question is the Sharia law. And yet he knew that was the command of the Prophet, so we'll obey that. The second question is, Ya Rasulullah, how are you to know when Hazrat Fatima will pass away? For I could pass away before Hazrat Fatima. But he knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the knowledge of the unseen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that Hazrat Fatima Zahra was going to pass away first. And this is exactly what happened. 6 months after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, after he put a curtain between this world and a world of akhirah, Hazrat Fatima Zahra was so sad, so heartened, disheartened of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passing away, that she never smiled from that day onwards. And 6 months later, only at the age of 29, she passed away. My dear sisters of Islam, think about the love that you have for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is my question today. You are asked the question, follow the beloved Prophet. Look, the world is saying that you should have the latest fashion. The world is saying that you should look good. The world is saying that don't think about the akhirah. Shaitan is saying, don't think about what is going to happen to you after death. Shaitan puts in your heart that you are a Sunni Muslim, you'll go straight into Jannah. Shaitan puts into your heart, you do not need to pray namaz, you do not need to listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you do not need to listen to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaitan is putting that in your heart. And on the other hand, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, fattabi'uni, follow me. Follow me, do whatever I do. And that is exactly what the Sahaba Kiram did. Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu once was near a masjid, and he asks the person, bring some meat to me. He brings some meat, he sits on the doorstep of the masjid and he starts eating. One of the Sahabis say, Ya Usman, your house is not far away. Why are you eating meat here when you could go to your house and eat meat? Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu replies, the reason why I am eating meat here is because one day I saw my beloved messenger eat meat here. And I am following his sunnah. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was once riding on a horse, and he takes his amama and he puts the amama, wraps it around the tree. The sahabas inquire, why are you doing this purposely? He says, the reason why I'm doing this is because once I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's amama being wrapped around the tree, and therefore I am following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in. And why do I give you the example? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that ma alayna wa ashabi, those who follow me and those who follow my companions are those people who will go into Jannah, are those people who will obtain paradise. Let me tell you, today you listen to songs, today you sing songs, the cassette doesn't stop, the television doesn't stop. How many times do you pray the Durood Sharif? Do you pray the Durood Sharif when you go to sleep? Do you continuously pray the Durood Sharif? Hazrat Sufyan Sauri radiallahu ta'ala anhu states, Hazrat Imam Ghazali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the greatest imams of the time, states in his kitab Makashifatul Qulub, he states that Hazrat Sufyan Sauri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a buzruk, a pious person, a wali of Allah, was once performing tawaf of the Holy Kaaba. Whilst he was performing tawaf of the Holy Kaaba, he sees a young man in front of him. The young man, only thing this young man is praying is the Durood Sharif. He's praying, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Shafiyana Mawlana Muhammadin ma'adani wal judi wal karam wa ali wa sahabi ajma'in, or something relating to the Durood Sharif. But then Sufyan Sauri continues to go behind him, and then he asks him the question. He says, O young man, I have been behind you whilst you've been performing this tawaf. And there are many duas as instructed by the Messenger of Allah. And yet, you're not praying any of them duas, and you are praying the Durood Sharif. Why? This young man replies, who are you? Hazrat Sufyan Sauri says, my name is Sufyan. He says, I have heard about you, recognize you. People know that you are a pious person. And that is the only reason why I will tell you why I am praying the Durood Sharif today. The reason why I am praying Durood Sharif today is because whilst I was on my way to perform Hajj of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that my father was with me. And then on the way my father passes away. When I looked at my father's face had gone completely black. It scared me. I saw my father's face and it worried me. I knew my father wasn't a very pious person. However, suddenly, I saw this young man coming on a horse. And on the horse, he had something written in his hand. He then put that into the coffin of my beloved father, and my father's face shined. My father's face goes completely white from completely black. He says, I saw this, and I just fainted. When I was dreaming, the Prophet ﷺ came into my dream. And the beloved Prophet ﷺ says that the person that you saw on the horse was me. In other words, the Prophet ﷺ. And your father was not a pious person. And that is why his face went black. But the reason why his face went white afterwards is because I wrote the Durood Sharif on a piece of paper and I put it into his coffin. Because one habit that your father had was that he continuously used to send the Durood and Salam upon me. And therefore, I have come to assist your father. My dear sisters of Islam, the Prophet ﷺ will assist not at the time of death only, but in your grave the Prophet ﷺ will assist you. On the day of judgment the Prophet ﷺ will assist you. And in Jannah, people will go into Jannah with the Prophet ﷺ if they have true love of the Prophet ﷺ. What is true love of the Prophet ﷺ? As Hazrat Safwan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Safwan radiallahu ta'ala anhu was day by day, the person that you saw on the horse was me. In other words, the Prophet ﷺ. And your father was not a pious person. And that is why his face went black. But the reason why his face went white afterwards is because I wrote the Durood Sharif on a piece of paper and I put it into his coffin. Because one habit that your father had was that he continuously used to send the Durood and Salam upon me. And therefore, I have come to assist your father. My dear sisters of Islam, the Prophet ﷺ will assist not at the time of death only, but in your grave the Prophet ﷺ will assist you. On the day of judgment the Prophet ﷺ will assist you. And in Jannah, people will go into Jannah with the Prophet ﷺ if they have true love of the Prophet ﷺ. What is true love of the Prophet ﷺ? As Hazrat Safwan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Safwan radiallahu ta'ala anhu was day by day, he used to be a servant of the Prophet ﷺ. If the Prophet wanted to perform wudu, Hazrat Safwan used to go and bring the wudu. And yet, one day, the Prophet inquires, why are you crying? He says, O beloved Messenger of Allah, maybe because of your wasila, I will gain Jannah, I will gain paradise. However, you are the Habib of Allah. Your status and my status will have no comparison. Your grade is the highest of all. And my grade, I don't know what it is. Therefore, I am afraid of myself. For I will give up anything. I do not want Jannah. I do not want the Day of Judgment. I do not want anything. All I want, O Messenger of Allah, is your companionship. To be with you, to look after you, to assist you when the time comes to assist you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiles at him and says, do not worry. For Hazrat Safwan then says, but Ya Rasulullah, when I am at home and I am depressed, I am worried, I come to you and all my depression goes. All my worry goes. I just look at your beloved face and I forget about everything about this world. What will happen on the day of judgment or in Jannah? What will happen in Jannah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies that, O Safwan, don't worry. For if you follow my sunnah, and if you follow upon the instructions of what I have to say, and what I command you, then you will be with me in Jannah. You, every time you want to come and visit me, straight away Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring you towards me. And that is the love. Hazrat Rabia Basri radiallahu ta'ala anha, he was an awliya, a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a very, very pious lady, said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He gives whatever He has allocated to me in this world to the kafir. And He gives whatever He is going to give me in Jannah, in this afterworld, to the Muslims. I give my share about the Akhirah to the Muslims. And I give my share in this world to the kafir. The only reason why I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only reason why I constantly pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that on the day of judgment, I can proudly say that I am an ummati of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I can
can proudly say that I was a person who went upon the commands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The same question will be asked for you. Remember, I said to you a few weeks ago about how they cause us. A person, all Muslims, will gather around, want you to drink from this blessed water. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns around and says, my follower, how many times did you listen to my command? How many times did you instruct your children to listen to my command? What answer will you give on the Day of Judgment? Ya Rasulullah, I had more love for the world. Ya Rasulullah, I was only concerned about the worldly pleasures. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the gift of being in this world, in England, so I had a life of luxury. So I forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I forgot you, O beloved messenger of Allah. Do you think that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be pleased with that answer? Do you think you can answer that on the Day of Judgment? Let me tell you what one woman said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the Battle of Uhud. One woman sees a group of Sahabis coming back from the battle, and the Muslims gained a lot of problems. They gained defeat. They obtained defeat in the Battle of Uhud, and therefore they had suffered large losses. The woman runs up to the Sahaba Kiram and she says, how is my beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The Sahaba replies, I'm afraid to say that your son has passed away. He has made shaheed. She says, how is the beloved Prophet? They reply, I'm afraid your husband has been martyred in the Battle of Uhud. She asks a third time, how is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They reply, I'm afraid your brothers, your father, they have all been martyred in the Battle of Uhud. They have become shaheed. She says, I am asking you a question, and the question that I am asking you is, how is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They reply, he is fine. She smiles and she says that all my grief goes away, all my difficulty goes away. The difficulty of losing my son, the difficulty of losing my father, the difficulty of losing my husband, as soon as I find out that my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alive and well, as soon as I find out that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is okay, all my grief goes away. That is the love that the women had at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The same women, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to look toward today's women, my dear sisters of Islam, what do you think he would say? If he, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, alhamdulillah, we believe ar-ruhin nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadhihi fi buyuti ahli al-islam. Qadi Ayaz rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi states that the soul of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is present in the Muslim world. In every place in the Muslim world, the soul of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes present. However, I ask you the question, when there is a wedding today and the bride wears a wedding dress completely against the Sharia law of Islam, to please her friends, to please the community, but to displease Allah and His beloved Prophet, she wears a wedding dress according. Remember one thing I said to you, مَنْ تَشْحَبَّ بِالْقَوْمٍ فَوَمِنْهُمْ, you will be lifted on the Day of Judgment with those whom you follow. And that woman wears the wedding dress, and the same, in the same wedding, the men and the women are mixing with each other. No segregation whatsoever. In the same wedding, the music is being played aloud. Do you think the angels of mercy will be present in that wedding? Do you think the soul of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be present on that day of the wedding? Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look upon that wedding as a merciful and as a pleasurable act? The wedding is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, the nikah, an-nikahu min sunnati, wa man yughayyibu an sunnati falaysa minni. The nikah is my sunnah, and those who disobey my sunnah are not amongst me. Think about it. The nikah is the sunnah, but to disobey the Prophet is to play music in the wedding hall. To disobey the Prophet is to wear English dressing. To disobey the Prophet is to go against the Sharia law of Islam. To disobey the Prophet is not to pray namaz. To disobey the Prophet is to laugh at a sunnah. To disobey the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Faman waghiba an sunnati falaysa minni." They will not be with me. They are not amongst me. My dear sisters of Islam, do you know the Sahaba Ikram radiyallahu during the Treaty of Hudaybiyah? Hudaybiyah occurred in the 6th Al-Hijri, and the Sahaba Kiram with the Prophet about 1500 of them decided to go and perform Umrah. And whilst they were going, they had Ihram on, and the only thing that they wanted to do was perform Umrah. And the Kuffar refused to let the Prophet enter Makkah. The Prophet sent Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu as a delegate. He sends him and he says, Ya Usman, you have good relationships with the Quraysh. You go and talk to the Quraysh that we only want to perform Umrah. Hazrat Usman goes and he speaks to the Quraysh. And do you know what the Quraysh said
when they saw Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Usman's trouser leg was above his ankles, well above his ankles. They started laughing at him. And they said to him, look at your state, Usman. What is your position? For you used to walk with us, with your feet, with your trousers dragging. And look at you today. Hazrat Usman turns around and says, O Kuffar, O Quraysh, how do you understand? This is the sunnah of my beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You don't know the pleasures of following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in that treaty, in the treaty of Hudaybiyah, my dear sisters of Islam, the true love of the Sahaba-i-Kiram was shown. One of some of the Sahaba inquired with the Prophet, they say, Ya Rasulullah, Hazrat Usman has gone and he will perform Umrah on his own. The Prophet ﷺ replies, I know my Usman will not perform Umrah without me. Now the Umrah is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, Hazrat Usman is ghani in you. If I was to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst I was displeasing the Prophet ﷺ, then Allah will reject this worship. Allah will reject this worship. My dear sisters of Islam, the Prophet ﷺ was asked by Urwa bin Mas'ud, who was sent as a delegate of the Quraysh. And while he was talking to the Prophet ﷺ, he says, O beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the time obviously he had not accepted Islam. We say that as a respect to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he says, O Muhammad bin Abdullah, let's write a peace treaty. Hazrat Ali was commanded by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to write this peace treaty. He says, the treaty is between the Quraysh of Makkah and Muhammad bin Abdullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Ali wrote this. Urwa bin Masud or his colleague says to him, we don't accept this. For if we were to accept him as the messenger of Allah, then would there be any problems? Scribble off Rasulullah. The Prophet instructs Hazrat Ali. Ya Ali, okay, scribble Rasulullah off. Hazrat Ali replies, O beloved Messenger of Allah, the hands of Ali has written Rasulullah. The hands of Ali will never cross off that name. Will never cross Rasulullah off. O beloved Messenger of Allah, I ask for your pardon and I say, O beloved Messenger of Allah, I will never, never cross the Rasulullah off. The Prophet ﷺ takes the treaty off him and he himself crosses Rasulullah off. And then when Urwa bin Mas'ud goes back, he goes back to the Quraysh, you know what he says? He says, I have seen Caesar. I have seen many, many leaders. I have seen the leader of Persia. But I have never seen a king like the Prophet ﷺ. For when he is performing wudu, the Sahaba are running towards him and they are not letting that drop of water fall on the floor. He is performing gargle. He is putting water in his blessed mouth and he is spitting that water out. The Sahaba are diving for that water. Once they get hold of that water that has been in the mouth of the Prophet ﷺ, they are putting it on their faces. And they are regarding it as holy. They are running around trying to listen to the commands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If a hair falls on the floor, the Sahaba are running around to gather it as a holy relic, to save it as a holy relic. The Sahaba kiram, I have never seen so much love that I have seen of the companions to the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as I have seen today. My dear sisters of Islam, this is an example. And during the passing away of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Abbas brings the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the middle of the night from Janatul Baqi. He has become poorly. He has become very ill. They bring him and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructs Hazrat Abu Bakr, Ya Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you will lead the namaz. While in my absence, you will lead the namaz. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu prayed namaz for approximately 3 days. And then one day, Hazrat Abbas and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu are lifting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they take him into Masjid Nabawi Sharif. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is wept, praying namaz, well into namaz, and the muqtadi is performing jamaat, and whilst he's praying namaz, he sees from the corner of his eye the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming. He stops praying namaz and he pulls back, lifts his hands in the air and he pulls back. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructs him, Abu Bakr, continue. But Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala knew that if the imam of all imams is present, then how can I become an imam? He comes back, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam joins in salat and Abu Bakr Siddiq prays with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Sahaba are looking at Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq is looking at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the love that the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And during the very last days, the very last minute, Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very, very poorly, and early morning Fajr Salat, that is the last time that the Sahaba-i Kiram radiallahu ta'ala majma'in saw him in this world. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house is today where he is resting at the present moment. And the Sahaba-i Kiram in level with the third row of namaz. So the second and the first row and the imam are in front in level with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns the curtain away. He looks at the Sahaba and smiles.
The Sahaba-e Kiram, or remember, praying namaz, they turn around while praying namaz and look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now I can understand the Sahaba who are in the third row, because they can see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the corner of their eye. But what about those Sahaba who are in the second row? What about those Sahaba who are in the first row? And what about the Imam Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq? They turn completely around whilst in worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to look at the blessed face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not say, your namaz has broken. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not say, why are you looking at me? You should be thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should have not have my thought in your namaz. MaazAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not say that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just smiles and draws the curtain back, instructs Abu Bakr continue praying namaz. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lies down. And it is the later time, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq looks at the Prophet ﷺ, he's cold. The Sahaba in a state of disarray. Hazrat Usmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu is walking around with his hands on his back. The Prophet ﷺ has just closed his eyes from this world. But before he closes his eyes, my dear sister of Islam, he says two things. He says, never ever discard salat. Never miss namaz. And he says, be kind to your female servants. And then he says, Allah is one, and then he passes away. My dear sister of Islam, the Sahaba-i Kiram radiallahu ta'ala majmu'in are in a state of disarray. Hazrat Usman-i Ghani will not talk to anyone. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Unais radiallahu ta'ala comes, he sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. At that time he has a heart attack, he himself passes away. For the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala is away at the time, is about a mile away. Hazrat Umar draws his sword out, he's walking around the cities, he's walking around the streets of Medina. And he's saying, don't ever anyone say that Muhammad is dead. Don't ever anyone say that Muhammad has passed away. He has gone to visit his Lord, like Hazrat Musa has gone to visit his Lord. He's going to come back. And he's walking around like that. He will not say a word. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala then comes. He looks at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He smiles. He kisses the blessed forehead of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he says these words. He says the ayah of the Holy Quran that the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhu were not aware of. They were aware of it, but they had forgotten. And the ayah is, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is but the messenger of Allah, and messengers have passed away. Will it be that when he passes away or is killed, you will turn back on your heel? He who turns back does no harm to Allah, and Allah will reward the thankful. It is in Surah Imran. The Sahaba-i Kiram straight away understand that they have a duty to perform. They have a duty. They must listen to Allah and the beloved messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear sisters of Islam, even at that time, the Sahaba-i Kiram had so much love. They kept quiet for days and days. However, the time has come to finish my speech. But before I finish my speech, I want you to think about your life today. Think about those Sahaba-i Kiram who sacrificed so much. And one in particular I want to talk about. My final, before I finish my speech, is Akrama bin Abu Jahl. The name Abu Jahl will ring a bell to you because he was a severe enemy of Islam. Hazrat Akrama, or Akrama bin Abu Jahl at the time, was at the end of the third decade of his life on the day the Prophet ﷺ made public his call to guidance and truth. In other words, Hazrat Akrama was about 35-40 years old, towards reaching the age of 40. Some others like him, in other words, Hazrat Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas, Hazrat Musab ibn Umair, and other sons of noble families in Makkah, had all become Muslims. And Akrama did not become a Muslim. He too might have followed their example, were it not for his father. His father, Abu Jahl, was the foremost proponent of shirk. He used to follow the shirk so much, and one of the greatest tyrants of Makkah, one of the biggest enemies of Islam. Through torture, he sorely tested the faith of the early believers, but they remained steadfast in their faith. He used every stratagem to make them waver, but they continued to affirm the truth. Akrama found himself defending the leadership and authority of his father. As he pitted himself against the Prophet, his animosity towards the Prophet, his hatred, his persecution of his followers, and his attempt to block the progress of Islam and the Muslims won the admiration of his father. So his father was so pleased that Akrama hated the Muslims so much. And at the Battle of Badr, Abu Jahl led the Makkan mushriks in the battle against the Muslims. He swore by their goddesses that he would not return to Makkah until he crushed Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At Badr, he sacrificed 3 camels to these goddesses. He drank wine and had the music of singing girls to spur the Quraysh on to fight. Abu Jahl was amongst the first to fall in that battle. He was so proud of himself, he was actually killed by 2 small children. His son Akrama, imagine this, own father being seen being killed by 2 small children, having spears going through his chest. He wanted to bring his father back, the corpse of his father back to Makkah. However, the
the difficulty and the crushing defeat that they had suffered made this impossible. So he left his father in Badr. From that day onwards, the fire of hatred burned even more fiercely in the heart of Akrama. Others whose fathers were killed at Badr also became more hostile to Muhammad and his followers. This eventually led to the Battle of Uhud. And in that Battle of Uhud, Akrama was accompanied by his wife, Umme Hakim. She and other women stood behind the battle lines, beating their drums, singing, urging the Quraysh onto battle, and upbraiding any horseman who felt inclined to flee. They used to call him a coward, any person who ran back. So these women had a major part against Muslims. Leading the right flank of the Quraysh was Khalid ibn Walid, who at the time had not brought Iman. On the left was Akrama bin Abu Jahl. The Quraysh inflicted heavy losses on the Muslims and felt that they had avenged themselves from the defeat of Badr. This was not, however, the end of the state of the conflict. At the Battle of the Trench, in other way, in Ghazwa-e Khandaq, the Quraysh mushrikeen besieged Medina. They completely seized Medina completely around, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had decided to dig a trench so that the kuffar could not enter Medina. And at this battle, it was a long siege. The resources and the patience of the mushrikeen were wearing out. Akrama, feeling the strain of the siege, saw a place where the trench dug by the Muslims was relatively narrow. So he thought to himself, I'll jump across this trench. With a gigantic effort, he managed to cross. A small group of Quraysh followed him. It was a foolhardy undertaking. One of them was immediately killed by the Muslims, and it was only by turning on his heel that Akrama managed to save himself. However, now I want you to take yourself a few years later. 9 years after the Hijrah. Remember, the Prophet ﷺ passed away in 11 al-Hijri. 2 years before the Prophet ﷺ passing away, the Prophet returned with 10,000 of his companions back to Makkah, to conquer Makkah. The Quraysh saw them approaching and decided to leave the way open for them, because they knew that the Prophet had given instructions to his commanders not to open hostilities. He told his commanders that you will not fight, you will gently enter into Makkah. That is why he was one of the greatest leaders of all time. Akrama and some others, however, went against the consensus of the Quraysh and attempted to block the progress of the Muslim forces. He thought to himself, I will not listen to the Quraysh and I'll try and fight the Muslims. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu now had become a Muslim. He met and defeated them all in a small engagement, during which some of Akrama's men were killed and others who could fled. Amongst those who escaped was Akrama himself. So at this time, Makkah was being seized. Akrama disguised himself and he left Makkah. Any standing or influence that Akrama may have had was now completely destroyed. No respect whatsoever he had anymore. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Makkah and gave a general pardon and amnesty to all Quraysh who entered the sacred masjid. So he said to them, anybody who enters into the vicinity of the Kaaba will not be touched. Anybody who remains indoor will not be touched. And anybody who goes into the governor of Makkah's house, in other words Abu Sufyan, who as well at the time would not become a Muslim, will not be touched, they will be given a pardon. However, he refused to grant amnesty to a few individuals who he named. He gave orders that they should be killed, even if they found under the covering of the Kaaba. So he said that if you find Akrama inside Kaaba, under the coverings of the Kaaba, you will still get hold of him and you will kill him. Akrama learnt of this, so he slipped out of Makkah in disguise and headed for Yemen. Umme Hakim, Akrama's wife, then went to the camp of the Prophet ﷺ. With her was Hind bint Utbah, the wife of Abu Sufyan, and the mother of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and about 10 other women who wanted to pledge allegiance to the Prophet. At the camp were two of his wives, his daughter Fatima and other members of the family. Hind was the one who spoke. She was veiled and felt deeply ashamed of what she had done to Hazrat Hamza, the Prophet's uncle. For at the time of the Battle of Uhud, she cut Hazrat Hamza's stomach. She got hold of Hazrat Hamza's stomach's liver and she bit that liver in hatred of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O Messenger of Allah, she said, praise to Allah who has made manifest the religion he has chosen for himself. I beseech you out of the bonds of kinship to treat me well. I am now a believing woman who affirms the truth of your mission. She then unveiled herself and said, I am Hind, the daughter of Utbah, O Messenger of Allah. Welcome to you, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replies. By Allah, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, continued Hind. She said, there was not a house on earth that I wanted to destroy more than your own house. Now, there is no house on earth that I so dearly wish to honor than the raising glory than your own house. So I hated your house so much, and yet I love your house so much now. Umme Hakim then got up and professed her faith in Islam and said, O Messenger of Allah, Akrama has fled from you to the Yemen, and out of fear that you will kill him, grant him security and Allah will grant you security. The Prophet ﷺ replies,
he is secure.
Umm Hakim set out immediately in search of Akrama, accompanied by her Greek slave. When they had gone quite far on the way, he tried to commit adultery with Umm Hakim, the slave. But she managed to put him off until she became to a settlement of the Arabs. She sought their help against him. They tied him up and kept him. Umm Hakim continued her way until she found Akrama on the coast of the Red Sea in the region of Tihama. He was negotiating transport with a Muslim seaman who was saying to him, "Be pure and sincere and he will transport you." Hazrat Akrama says, "How can I be pure? Say I testify that there is no Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah." Hazrat Akrama replies, "It is the very thing that I have fled from. How can I say that?" At this point, she sees Umm Hakim coming up to Akrama and says, "Oh my husband, I have come to you from the generous of men, the most righteous of men, the best of men, from Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have asked him for an amnesty for you. This has been granted, so do not destroy yourself." He then asks, "Have you spoken to him?" She says, "Yes, I have spoken to him and he has granted you amnesty." She assured him and he returned to her. On his way back, he heard about the Greek slave, so he killed him. Then Umm Hakim, he tried to live his life like her husband lived with his wife. But she says, "Do not touch me, for I am now a Muslim, you are a mushrik." His own wife is now saying this to Hazrat Akrama, that "I am now a Muslim, you are a mushrik, you cannot touch me." When Hazrat Akrama was going towards Makkah, the Prophet ﷺ was telling his Sahaba, he was saying that Akrama is approached Makkah, and Akrama ibn Abu Jahl shall come to you as a believer and a refugee. Do not insult his father. Insulting the dead causes grief to the living and does not reach the dead. Akrama and his wife came up where the Prophet ﷺ was sitting. The Prophet got up and greeted him enthusiastically. His own enemy, the Prophet ﷺ, stood up and greeted him. And then he said, "Muhammad ﷺ said, Akrama, Umm Hakim has told me that you have granted me amnesty." "That's right," said the Prophet ﷺ, "you are safe." "To what do you invite?" said Akrama. "I invite you to testify that there is no Allah except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that I am the servant of Allah and His beloved messenger." And Hazrat Akrama radiallahu ta'ala said, "You have only called what is true," and he became a Muslim at the time. However, what I want to say to you is, this person who is so hatred for Islam, who had so much hatred for Islam, now becomes a Muslim. As soon as he becomes a Muslim, he starts praying namaz. As soon as he becomes a Muslim, he starts to listen to the Prophet ﷺ. And it was during the time where 400 Muslims, including his uncle Al-Harith and Ibn Hashim and Ayyash ibn Abi Rabah, responded to the calls to fight with Hazrat Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anhu with the Romans. When the battle was taking place, he says, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid says to him, "Don't go forward in this battle, for we will all perish." Hazrat Akrama says, "Let us carry on, Khalid. Therefore, we are in the peak of motivation. You had the privilege of being with the messenger of Allah before this. As for myself and my father, we were amongst his bitterest enemies. I fought the Prophet on many occasions. Shall I now flee from the Romans? This shall never be." Then calling out the Muslims, he shouted, "Who shall pledge to fight for Islam?" 400 Muslims joined him. His uncles joined him. Hazrat Khalid ibn Walid stood back. Their daring attack paved the way for a decisive Muslim victory. The Muslims won this great battle with the Romans. However, when the Muslims were looking in the battlefield, they saw three men. One man was Hazrat Al-Harith ibn Hashim. The other one, Ayyash ibn Abi Rabah. And the third one was Akrama bin Abu Jahl. When they went to Hazrat Al-Harith, Hazrat Al-Harith said that, "I am perishing, and yet I can see Ayyash, who is wanting more water more than me, go to Ayyash." When they went towards Ayyash, he replies, "Go to Akrama, he needs water more than me." When they went to Akrama, he replies, "Go to Harith, he needs water more than me." When they come to Harith, Hazrat Harith has passed away. When they go to Ayyash, he has passed away. When they go back to Hazrat Akrama has passed away for Islam. The companions pray that Allah may be pleased with them and grant them the refreshment from the spring of Kawthar. My dear sisters of Islam, Hazrat Akrama hated Islam. You do not hate Islam. Hazrat Akrama had hatred for the Prophet. Inshallah, may Allah protect us all. We do not have hatred. But when Akrama radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted Islam, he then had love for the Prophet. Do you have love for the Prophet? He then had love for Islam. Do you have love for Islam? The very person who hated the Prophet now dies for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear sisters of Islam, sacrifice the little bit of luxury of your life for the sake of Islam, and inshallah Allah will reward you here and he will reward you in the akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
For more details of other tapes, please contact 0781 75 078130. That's 07817588130. Or email us Taiba78692@hotmail.com. That's Taiba TAIBA 78692@hotmail.com. Other tapes by Sidi Muhammad Salib include Day of Judgment, Punishment of Hell, Importance of Salah, Love of the Prophet, Repentance, Importance of Knowledge, Women in Islam, Fear of Allah, Respect of Parents, Muslims' Character, Propagating Islam, and Drugs. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.